Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is hour number three. In for David Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll be back to our normal schedule to tomorrow. I should note, Hardline is off this weekend. It's Memorial Day, and you know it's tough to book guests the day before a holiday. So taking Hardline off should be joined by the deputy county executive in the following week, if certain members of the administration stick to their word. We should be talking with her about her run for county executive. But right now, we are joined by managing partner at O'Donnell & Associates, Jack O'Donnell. Jack, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Joe. Good morning.
You know, there is a lot of attention and a lot of advertising now around the Zellner-Rivera primary. Obviously, Jeremy Zellner won the special election against Dan Gagliardo. I have heard that he was not happy with his margin of victory that night. And now you see the primary heating up. Jack, where do you see this race?
Well, no surprise that it's getting a lot of attention, right? You've got two very well-established political figures, right? Zellner, sort of the traditional insider, right? Party chair, board of elections, insider with the Democratic circles who, selected himself to be the candidate and then won the special. And then you have John Rivera, comes from a well-known political family, but has been elected a number of times to the assembly. Sort of more representing that progressive wing of the Democratic Party, has a lot of support from organized labor. And, you know, I think this is a feisty competitive race between the, you know, kind of two wings of the Democratic Party.
The union support John Rivera has, is that a blow to Zellner, who, you know, again, he's been the party boss. He's worked with a lot of these union groups, and now they're back in Rivera.
Well, I think so. But, you know, Rivera's been working with them on a different level, you know, delivering in the legislature. And I think, you know, I think that means more. And then I also hear, you know, that there are folks from organized labor who were unhappy with decisions that Zellner made when he was chairman. I don't know the ins and outs of that, but that's where making decisions is kind of a double-edged sword. I think it was an old Tammany hall leader who said, you know, every time I pick one of these people, I get one, you know, one ingrate and seven disappointed office seekers. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Do you think Zellner staying in as the party chair has turned some people away from supporting him because they don't like the kind of double dipping that, again, I know he's not the only one to do it, Jack, but do you think that turns some people away?
I do think that there are regular people who are upset about that, right? Upset about the party insider picking himself and then staying as chair. But then there are people in the party who are either happy with that or afraid to speak out, right? You see an awful lot of elected officials have endorsed Zellner. So, you know, it's a calculated decision, and you know, we'll see kind of where that turns out.
If Zellner were to lose this primary, and I'm not saying that's any what happening, but if he were to lose this primary, would it be difficult for him to continue on as party chair? I mean, that would seem kind of embarrassing to lose and then have to support as the party chair the guy who beat you. How would that work out?
I think it would be messy. I mean, look, I do think that if Zellner does lose, there would be a lot of pressure on him in his operation there, to step down. I mean, I also think, you know, a lot of this comes as we're at a sea change, right? You mentioned you're going to have the deputy county executive on. We've got a big race there, right? You know, I think Zellner and Linehan really kind of came in with the Poland Bar's administration. You know, you've got a lot of change coming either way. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in terms of party leadership.
Is this district, is this really going to become who shows up in the city versus who shows up in Amherst and Tonawanda?
I think it's less that. I don't see the city-suburban divide as closely as I see the, you know, sort of further left progressives versus the more moderates, right? Maybe you have a few more of those in the Tonawandas and in Amherst. But, you know, when you look at Democratic primary voters, right, the people who care about races like this, right, there are a lot of folks who will sit home and say, look, it's going to be a Democrat either way. What's the difference? And then there are a lot of people who are really motivated by that, right? The DSAs of the world, the working families, right, the more moderate Democrat, you know, kind of what that looks like. So I think it comes down to more, is there a young person progressive surge, right? Like we saw in the India Walton primary in Buffalo, right? I mean, she has support if you poll Democrats in the outside the city, prime, super prime Democrats. They like that model.
Jack, we talked about the union endorsements for Rivera. Obviously, Zellner is spending more money when it comes to advertising. I mean, you can't watch the Wheel of Fortune without seeing three Zellner ads over the last week. Where does that, you know, weigh against each other? The union support versus the money going into the campaign, the money going into ads. Which one comes out with a better benefit, do you think?
I mean, that's what we're going to see, right? I mean, you know, unions have certainly donated money, but they often have a lot of people, right? I mean, the 1199, the SEIUs of the world, you know, they roll bodies out, the CSEAs, you know, do phones all over the state. And those things can make a big difference. But money is powerful, right? And being able to frame the message, and that's why it certainly, I think, advantaged Zellner today. But we've got a month to go, and we'll see when, as more and more folks start paying attention to this race, are those unions out there door knocking? Are they talking to their members? Are they fired up on this choice, or are they saying a Democrat's a Democrat?
Is there, do you believe, a good chance Rivera wins this? Is there a slim chance? I mean, where do you rank this? You said at a month out where you stand, but what do you think could change over the next month? And, like, would you be shocked if Rivera comes out ahead in this primary?
I wouldn't be shocked at all. I mean, I see this as a 50-50 race right now, right? Zellner has an advantage because he, you know, not only has he more money that he's spending now, you know, he spent a lot of money in the special election. He's gotten his name out there, right? He's doing those things. But I also think Rivera has a lot of that support from the, you know, those groups that are the Democratic energy these days, right? And you know, in a lot of ways, it's Andrew Cuomo establishment versus Mondami, you know, young people, you know, progressive energy. And if Rivera can raise enough to activate those folks and those believers, and if they're out going door to door, then I think this is a really close race.
You know, speaking of that progressive and the more Zellner part of the party, what is the percentage, do you believe, right now of the party? Because you look at Kathy Hochul, she is running. She did have a challenger, her lieutenant governor challenging her, but she really doesn't have a real threat from that Mamdani progressive wing of the party. So what would you say statewide is that percentage of progressive, far left, and more of, as you said, the pulling car Zellner, Linehan Democrat Party?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there are more Democrats who are in the middle, you know, who are those more moderate Democrats. But I think the energy, the activism, the folks who are going out there deciding primaries, the folks who are willing to call their neighbors and bang on doors, right? Maybe that's only 30% of the party, but they're louder, they're more engaged, and they actually have a vision, right? And a lot of times in an election, the people who have the vision are the ones who are able to succeed. when you're talking about Kathy Hochul, I mean, I would mention two things. One is, you know, she has harnessed the power of incumbency and has done that, you know, exceptionally well. She's really grown into the job of being governor. And at the same time, you know, look, she endorsed Mondami. She has embraced him. They have built a partnership. She was in New York City today with Mondami and Jessica Tisch, the police commissioner. She was in New York City yesterday with Mondami on some childcare announcements. You know, she has really, even if she is not beloved by some folks in that wing of the party, they have come to peace and come to an alliance or partnership with Kathy Hochul.
So is Kathy Hochul, because we saw the Siena poll where Kathy Hochul's favorability actually dropped a few points, but her lead over Blakeman went up 3 points. So is she benefiting, as you said, from incumbency? Is she benefiting from having that D next to her name in a deep blue state like New York, where she can lose that favorability, even lose some on her job approval, but gain in the head-to-head against the Republican?
Look, it definitely helps to be a Democrat in New York when you look at the electorate and you look at the national climate, right? I do think people are unhappy with the direction of the region, the state, the country, right? And that shows up in these polls, and that hurts incumbents, right, including Kathy Hochul. But then when you put her up against a Republican who has embraced President Trump and who, frankly, has not set out any of his own vision, right, you're going to see her doing better. I also think, you know, when you ask different questions, when you ask, does she share our values? Is she hardworking? Is she honest? A lot of those things she will pull well in, even if it's not right now on likability.
Jack, we were talking last segment about the HALT Act and bail reform. We're seeing the results of the HALT Act and the Collins Correctional Facility. We have a guy who was convicted of murder in the 80s who pulled a knife on a deputy mayor who is allowed out because apparently criminal possession of a weapon is not qualifying for bail. You're the insider. You talk to the people in power. Do you believe there is some appetite in the Democrat Party to at least take a look back at these things after the election?
Not much. I mean, if we're talking about Kathy Hochul, who has been much more moderate on these issues, right, and has actually forced some changes through the legislature over the last few years, you know, I do think there are some reasonable folks who want to look at the facts and get into the weeds of what works, talk to district attorneys, talk to, lawyers, talk to advocates and find the right answer. I think that is dangerous for Democrats in this electoral season where, again, we're talking about the energy from the left and from progressives. So I don't know that I see that coming anytime soon unless it is led by the governor.
You mentioned the county executive race, and we are we've been told that we will have Lisa Shimera on Hardline, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. She's having her first she's not calling it a campaign event, Jack, but her first fundraising event tonight. Obviously, Kevin Hardwick has expressed interest in this race as well. You look at Shimera, she's a deputy county executive. Some people could say that'll be a fifth year of polling cars. I know we're a year out, Jack, and I know we have a lot more imminent races to focus on. But, 18 months out, what are you thinking of the county executive's race? Does Lisa Shimera have the upper hand?
Look, again, incumbency is helpful, having the support of the county executive who's won countywide for a few terms now has to be helpful, right? And Shimera is well-liked and, especially Tonawanda, great base to be coming from. I think she's a strong candidate. But I would also say, Kevin Hardwick has actually won countywide. And that, I think, is a really good measurement, right? He clearly has an ability to get some press and talk about issues. And I think that elevates him. Again, he has won countywide races. But I would also throw Pat Burke into the mix, right? I mean, he's got a re-election this year, but we've heard his name out there. He's also shown an ability to win in some of, competitive races against Republicans. I think this is going to be really interesting to watch it play out. I think they're all strong candidates.
Final question. This has got a national touch to it, Jack. Yesterday, we saw in a few states Trump-backed candidates win their Republican primaries. So as Trump's approval rating, maybe not the best, he still has obviously some control over the Republican Party where his endorsed candidates are winning the primaries. When you look at the Democrat Party, Jack, who has that kind of power? Maybe not now, but at some point had that kind of power over the Democrat Party.
Oh, what a good question. I mean, look, President Trump has an iron grip on the Republican Party. I respect it. We've seen it again, though it's interesting how that's going to play out, right? I think that also puts reconciliation and some of his plans for this year in doubt. You have to go back. I mean, I don't know. To me, Lyndon Johnson had that kind of power over the Democratic Party. I don't know that Carter or Clinton or Obama did. You know, there was a moment where, you know, Obama could do no wrong in the Democratic Party. But, you know, I've said it on this show before, Joe, I'm a Democrat, which, you know, as Will Rogers said, I'm not a member of any political party. It's just been a long time since someone wielded that kind of Democratic power.
Well, Jack, we love your time on the show. We always appreciate you, and thank you so much. And I know you and I will be talking several times between now and the election, including this Zellner-Rivera primary. Jack, thank you so much.
Sounds great. Always fun.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.